Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, and thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studios, Ed Vitagliano. That's your cue, Ed.
Oh, okay. You always say, hey, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Ed.
And I was waiting for that cue.
I decided to throw you off a little bit.
It did. It threw me off. Hey, good morning. Yeah. Right back at you.
All right. Got a little cold there?
Yeah, I woke up this morning with some sniffles. I was just telling Brent Creeley, our producer. And so before I left, I told my wife, yeah, give me a Benadryl. I'll try to dry it up. And now I'm just like sleepy. So if I fall asleep in the middle of one of these stories, you'll know why.
You need to lay down, take a nap.
Yeah.
Fred and I will be here. We'll take the steering
two.
Wheel for you. But no COVID, right? You already had the COVID.
Oh, no, I already had the COVID. Yeah, had the COVID. I'm a COVID veteran.
So I don't have to worry about that as I distance from 6 feet. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Yeah, I'm keeping my distance.
Well, you do that anyway,
yeah,
Fred.
Yeah, Fred in Studio Venus, he's probably, I don't know, as a bird flies, the bird barely takes off and lands. He lands quickly. Fred's about that far apart from us. Anyways, about 25 yards from us.
I want to go ahead. I'm disappointed with Ed.
Uh-huh, how's that?
You like to stand in line.
Because
in line.
By now, I expected Ed to have asked the question of Brent, how many shopping days to Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? We're done our Christmas shopping. That's why.
What?
Yes.
You're finished?
Now, let me just say this. Well, I'm talking about for the grandkids. And it's all hidden away. If they come over, they'll never find it unless they can get up in the attic.
Hopefully, if they're not listening.
And but now with everybody else, we just give them cash. Like my kids.
That's very thoughtful.
Well, I mean, nobody wants us buying presents for them. It's like, you know.
That cash gift thing, that cuts both ways. It is a way to say, here, I want you to have what you want to buy because I don't know what to get
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a way of saying I'm too lazy to go out and shop for you a Christmas gift.
Well,
so here's you some money.
Hey, two things can be true at the same time.
That's true. That's true. But I was always thankful when my grandmother gave me cash. I didn't care.
Well, this started Christmas really, you know, obviously Christmas is about Jesus. So please,
right.
folks,
yes.
don't email me.
Yeah.
But in terms of the gifts under the tree thing, my kids became teenagers. It ruined Christmas because we no longer were allowed to buy them stuff. My son didn't want me buying him music or movies. He would pick his own. My daughter didn't want us picking out clothes.
Right.
So it was like we got up Christmas morning and, you know, we'd read the Christmas story. And there's, here's your envelope. Here's your envelope. It just ruined it. Now grandkids are back in the picture. So
yeah, okay.
It's
now
all
we
bad.
Can have surprises on.
Now we have some fun.
On Christmas morning. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to join us on the internet, Facebook or YouTube is the best way right now before we're censored. Who knows when that might be? I don't know. When that'll happen, hopefully it won't. But for now, we're on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. I would also like to say to everyone listening, if you have, around your house, or maybe in your car or at work, if you have found some Georgia ballots, okay, they need to be turned in, all right, because they're trying to wrap up the recount, and they've found 5,600 that should have been turned in the first time.
Mm.
And now that doesn't affect the numbers drastically in terms of Biden's lead over Trump in the election. Understanding folks, they're doing a recount, and I understand that may not have even been the legitimate number in the first place. I'm just saying if you accept it. But I think it's time for all of us to turn in our Georgia ballots.
Yes.
Don't you think, Ed?
Absolutely. Turn them in. Make sure you wear your mask when you're turning it in, especially if you live in Michigan or California.
Right. Right.
And don't speak too loudly when you do. Because
and cancel Thanksgiving right now.
Cancel Thanksgiving right now.
Right.
In fact, we're asking all our listeners to to please wear your COVID mask as you listen to the program in your own home, or we'll send the police.
And as you call your family members saying, don't come over.
Yes.
Don't come over to our house and kill us.
The inmates are in charge of the asylum.
All right. Being a little facetious there, ladies and gentlemen, to make a point, a bigger point that needs to be made in the universe. All right. So, Fred, seriously, in Georgia, they're doing a recount, and they've the last couple of days, both days, they've found over 2,600 votes that were supposed to be
and then another 3,000
entered.
Yeah, exactly. And the deadline for that recount, by the way, is midnight tonight. And then we'll see what happens. But you're right, they have found now over 5,000 ballots. A couple of them were on these memory sticks that, you know, somebody forgot just to put in
Did Sam forget to plug it in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another few hundred were found in a box somewhere.
He told me he was hungry.
Yeah.
He wanted to get out. Anyway, I'm sorry.
There is a serious side to this. Alter the results in Georgia, may not. But 5,000, when the spread was only 14,000 votes between Biden and Trump, we've come out, you know, in the matter of days, over 5,000 new votes have been found. So that points to the reason why there is concern over this. 5,000 of 14,000 is like 33%. So we're talking percentages. Now, the deadline for this count is, as I say, midnight tonight. However, once those results are certified, if the margin between the candidates remains within 0.5%, the losing campaign can still request another recount. This one would be done more by machines, but they can request a third recount, I guess, or a second recount, you would refer to it as. So we'll have to see what happens as of midnight tonight. And where we go from here.
Ed?
Yeah, listen, this was not unexpected. I mean, there was a lot of chaos throughout the country, and we're trying to find out here on AFR. We are trying to be fair about this, and that's why we are staying away from, you know, making declarations like the election was stolen or there's clear fraud. We'll let the process run its course. And we'll see, but there was certainly a lot of chaos. One of the counties, I think it was Fulton County in Georgia, shut down counting on election night because they said there was a broken water pipe. Remember that? And then, as it turns out, it was just a leaking toilet. There was never even a work order placed for the repair. So a lot of these things are making people suspicious. And then when you find it's almost 6,000 ballots, 3,000 and then 2755, you find them and they just were never tabulated. And, you know, are the majority of those for Donald Trump? And then you begin to say, well, then why were those the ballots that mysteriously weren't counted on Election Day?
I was also listening to an interview that attorney Lynn Wood, Lynn, L-I-N, his last name Wood, he was a very well-known attorney from Atlanta. He represented Richard Jewell in the Atlanta Centennial Park bombing. You remember that?
Right.
There was a movie about that came out a few months ago. He also represented Nick Sandman, the young man from the Covington Catholic School. Mm-hmm. Attorney Wood was very successful in getting the Washington Post to pay up a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I heard an interview with him yesterday. Do y'all know what I'm talking about already?
I do.
Okay. Anyway, he was saying that there was a lawsuit between the Democrat Party of Georgia, I think it was, and the Secretary of State of Georgia, a Republican, and the lawsuit was settled in March of 2020. And it's the attorney, Lynn Wood, said that it substantially, this was his words, substantially changed the absentee voting process in Georgia. Hmm. And so what his point was that the Secretary of State's office had no right, I think this is what he was saying, had no right to change that. That is the sole purview of the state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the whole voting on November 3rd should be invalid, and they should have to do it all again. That was his argument. And he's a very smart guy. He's won a lot of cases, and so you might want to pay attention to that. Did you hear the same thing I heard?
I did, yeah. And the Georgia Secretary of State is Brad Raffensperger. Yeah. And listen,
he's not going to be invited to the Republican Christmas party.
No,
even though he is one. Anyway,
right.
Go ahead.
I think time to Fred's point, they're supposed to be done with the count at midnight tonight. I don't know the recount. I don't know if they'll be through or not. The problem for the Trump campaign is the window is so short for getting to the truth in a lot of these states, especially the swing states, states like Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, even Arizona, Georgia as well. The window is so short, I just don't know what can be proven in that amount of time. When you go before a judge, you've got to have the evidence, and it has to be overwhelming enough that a judge would say, well, this would flip the state,
right,
if it was true. That's going to be the problem for the Trump campaign, is getting this stuff proven. Sidney Powell, one of the attorneys for the Trump campaign, has come out and said some very bold things. And we just have to wait and see what happens when they finally file in these courts, how this evidence plays out before a judge, and then do they appeal it? Does it go up the ladder? I think Michigan is actually the last state on December 13th to have to certify its results. But some of these states are coming up, I think, at the end of this week, Fred, where they have to have their,
yes,
their state votes certified.
Yes.
And once that happens, you've got to have a serious case to have that overturned before
the
federal
judge. Well, yeah, and Wisconsin is another example. The Trump administration Trump election team facing a deadline there. Now, if they, after it's certified, if they want a recount, the Trump election team would have to pay $7.9 million for a recount. That's the way the election rules work there. If it's not within a certain percentage difference between the two parties, then the party wanting the recount has to pay the cost. And I think it's around $7.9 million if the Republicans requested a recount. So there's a cost factor in there as well.
Right. Well, this may be the kind of thing where it is after the fact that a lot of this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether if it turns out that Joe Biden, it becomes the president, I would certainly doubt that if there were shenanigans that the Biden administration would be interested in hunting those down and making sure they don't happen again. But the states themselves have the responsibility. Many of these swing states are controlled by Republican legislatures who are supposed to set the rules. And so if there is fraud and if there are shenanigans and all this stuff that people suspect is there, it's on them to correct it before the 2022 midterm elections and certainly before 2024. It's on them. They're the ones who are going to have to prevent this from happening again,
I think what happens many times, you know, when if it's Republican-controlled legislatures, they put policy in place. But if the policy turns out to be detrimental to their side, they're not going to admit that mistake.
Right.
And I think our next story kind of goes to that. It's kind of a once upon a time story. In April 2018, New York Times Opinion shared a video on its YouTube page called How I Hacked an Election. And this is the story of a University of Michigan computer science professor, J. Alex Halderman. Now, in the interest of time, just briefly, what happened? He had a bunch of students in front of him. He says, I'm going to prove to you how I can hack an election counting machine. And he went step by step with them on how it's done. I mean, the first step is to buy yourself a Dominion machine.
which are available on eBay.
On eBay. You can buy yourself a Dominion election machine.
I got one at the garage sale the other day down the street. Yeah. So, I mean, they're easily available.
Yeah. That's whenever you and your wife have to decide where you're going to eat. You guys each get a chance to vote, and the machine tabulates.
My thing was, you know, I want to buy her something different for Christmas this year. You know what I'm saying?
She bought her a voting machine.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
I watched this, by the way, Fred. I know you got more to spin out here on this, but I watched that segment,
yeah.
And the voting machine that you're talking about that you can buy on eBay is the kind we use when my wife and I go to vote. In Pontotoc County, it's the same kind of machine with a little card you put in there. It's the same thing.
And he proved, and here's how he proved to his students. He says, the next thing you do when you get your machine, when they deliver it to your house, get to the machine, you're a smart computer guy, you plant a virus in that machine hooked up to your computer, and then you start sending emails to election officials. And they get that virus in their email, and, of course, their computer is attached to their machines. So that virus is planted. And to show you, he demonstrated the virus to his students. He said, okay, let's vote on your favorite university, University of Michigan or University of Ohio.
And this was at the University of Michigan.
Yes. So they, the vast majority voted for University of Michigan. And so they all voted. And then he said, well, but here's the results. And the results were University of Ohio. He was able with that virus to change the results. So I want to play you a little bit of Alex Halderman explaining a few years ago how easy it was to do this, but now he's singing a different tune, cut number four.
Can these machines change votes? Is it possible? Is there a glitch that could not be detected?
It would be very complicated to do that in an election scenario like the presidential election we just saw.
The electronic voting machines Americans got to solve the problem of voting integrity, they turned out to be an awful idea. That's because people like me can hack them all too easily. I'm a computer scientist who has hacked a lot of electronic voting machines.
Okay, so what we heard there was the same man.
Yes.
What was his name?
His name is Alex Halderman.
Okay. And the first part was an interview he was doing about the current presidential election situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The other part was him a year or two or three ago.
Two
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Saying how easily it was to hack in to the machines he's now praising.
Yes.
Was that the point of that clip there?
Yes.
Okay. And the point of that is this guy's for Biden, yeah, probably. And that's the reason he's sort of singing a different tune right now.
Well, in 2018, the segment that Fred's talking about, where he said it's very easy to hack into these machines and went through the whole thing, Michigan and Ohio State, he was talking about how easy it would be for Russia, okay, remember that name?
Yeah.
Russia and North Korea to hack into those machines to change the election results, in parentheses, for Donald Trump. That was back when the whole narrative was the Russians helped Trump win in 2016 because that's the only explanation for how he beat Hillary Clinton. Now he's defending the machines because, again, like you're saying, I suspect his guy's the one who won.
Yeah, let me just say this too. Everything depends. If President, as you said, Ed, if President Trump is to his team is to overturn the if the results of the race in some of these states where Biden won, they're going to have to get to it pretty quick, and it's going to depend a lot on Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, Rudy Giuliani, those names. Otherwise, this is going to be certified, and electors are going to meet on December 14th, and that will that will mean that the election is over, whether or not President Trump concedes.
This is November 18th, So here are the states that were supposed to already have certified their results.
And have not.
And I, as far as I know, no state has certified. Fred, correct me if you're wrong. But Delaware, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Vermont, Wyoming, Virginia, Florida. Today is Idaho, Missouri, South Carolina. November 20th is Georgia. Okay, so that's Friday, Georgia and North Dakota.
Yeah.
So these are all states. So to your point, Tim, if the Trump campaign is going to stop some of these from being certified, they're already behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and I would say by no fault of their own. You're talking about a very, according to Sidney Powell and the attorney and others, I mean, well, you're talking about something that has to be investigated. You have to present a certain amount of facts to a judge or judges. You have to prepare. Then, so, I mean, this is just and everything's coming in. She said like a fire hose.
Right.
Sidney Powell did. So the pressure is on these folks because of the timeline involved here. And so we'll see. She said, Sidney Powell, that she was getting ready to, quote, release the Kraken, end quote.
That was last week she said that.
Last week. So and people who know her say she doesn't kid around
right
on things like that. Or you know,
I think Lynn Wood said that about her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Kraken... That's a mythological creature from a movie in 1991 or so.
Well, that's the phrase, Clash of the Titans. Right. The phrase "release the Kraken" is from that movie.
Well, what's the actor's
name? Liam Neeson.
Yeah. He was the one.
He was in it.
Anyway, hey, let me. I didn't get to meet with you fellows this morning at our program meeting that we normally have at 8:30 because I had other obligations, namely get my hair cut and mustache trimmed.
has to be done.
Yeah. But I wanted to bring this up, you guys, and we can come back after the break if we need to. And I'm not saying anything that most of our listeners don't already know, but the mainstream media in this country has chosen sides absolutely in the culture and political wars that are going on in our country.
Yes.
And if you needed any more evidence of this, yesterday there's a story on Fox News, and it said I was even stunned by this, and I know how the media is. It says ABC, CBS, and NBC evening newscasts skip Senate hearing on big tech censorship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're censoring the coverage, those, ABC, CBS, and NBC. Why did they do that? Because Ted Cruz and Senator Hawley from
Missouri,
among others, nailed Zuckerberg and
Jack Dorsey
from Twitter. They nailed them to the wall on their bias.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looked bad for those guys.
Right.
And so ABC, CBS, and NBC News decided we're not going to show that to our viewers across America. We want to keep that from them, suppress that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, ABC, CBS, and NBC, they used to at least have some pretense of objectivity. This no longer.
Right.
The media has chosen sides, and they are going with the liberals and the progressives. I put that in quotes. And they're all in.
Yep.
And if it means manipulating the news, not covering an important big story because it makes their guy or their team look bad, that's what they're all about now. We'll be back in a moment.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
I hope during all of this, God is cultivating within you some gratitude for things that maybe in our previously busy, go life we weren't doing or thinking about.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Every American ought to visit George Washington's Mount Vernon estate, south of Washington, D.C. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going to Mount Vernon on one of our spiritual heritage tours coming up in June and September 2021. Wanted to let you know about these tours already because they will fill up quick. So, for all the information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. We're going to be going to Yorktown, Jamestown, and Williamsburg as well on a separate trip. So much rich American history there to be experienced. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a nationally noted historian, and he's going to be with us along the way. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Feeling stuck? At Liberty University, we know you've waited long enough to move forward. So we're making sure the resilient career you want is closer than you think. Choose from more than 450 degrees, 100% online, for one of the lowest tuition rates in the nation. We've kept it the same for 5 years and counting, and we'll give you college credit for your life experience so you can save time and money. Stop feeling stuck and start moving toward the future you want with a school you can trust. Learn more by texting degree to 49595. That's degree to 49595.
Southern states are dealing with a mighty big problem, the war of northern migration. Traditionally red states turning purple and blue as an influx of northerners moved to places like North Carolina and Georgia, taking advantage of the low cost of living and quality of life, sweet tea, fried chicken, air conditioning, what's there not to like? North Carolina seems to be ground zero. About 4 in 10 North Carolinians were actually born somewhere else. Raleigh is the second fastest growing city in the nation. Charlotte is the eighth. Democrats control the city halls and governor's mansion. Conservatives in the South say they're happy to roll out the welcome wagon, but their hospitality does have limitations. As one North Carolina resident said on my radio program, y'all are more than happy to move down here, just don't pack your politics. Be sure to download my free daily podcast, listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern on ToddStarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Ed and Fred. Hey, Fred.
Yes.
You there?
Uh-huh.
Before the break, I was talking about this story that I saw on Fox where ABC, CBS, and NBC Evening Newscast skip the Senate hearing on big tech censorship, which was held yesterday in Washington, D.C. That was the biggest story by far in D.C. yesterday, affecting millions of people's lives across the country. It's talking about how big tech got involved in politics to help, basically to help the Democrats. We all know that. But ABC, CBS, and NBC News, Evening News, didn't even think it was worthy of a mention.
Nope.
So what? I've said before, we've known these folks are biased, but the New York Times, Washington Post, these big media giants are all in for one side.
That's right.
And manipulating the news, manipulating stories either by omission in this case. And so let me just say this. By the way, we want to welcome Abraham Hamilton III. How you doing, Brother Abe?
Doing well.
To our conversation here. Let me ask you guys this. I'll pitch it to Fred first. In totalitarian states or countries, such as China, for example, communist China, the former Soviet Union, although Russia has this to a large extent even today, Islamic dominant countries like Saudi Arabia, for example, anywhere where you have state control, whether it be secular or religious, of a country, then the media is just like what we're seeing happen in America.
Yep.
Now, it's not exactly the same because we don't have a dictator in Washington or a party in Washington like in China where that controls everything, and they have the handles on the mechanisms to do so. But ideologically speaking, we have censorship like in a totalitarian state going on right now with the big social media giants, which was what the hearing was on yesterday, and the news organizations that reach millions of Americans, ABC, CBS, and NBC, the Washington Post, the New York Times, they are participating in groupthink and deciding what the American people do and do not need to be exposed to.
Yes.
So, Fred, comment on that.
Well, you made a very important distinction. In China, if you want to be a journalist and stay alive, you have to write stories favorable to the government. Likewise, in certain Islamic states, the same sort of thing. What's happening here in the United States, and this you made this distinction, is that the mainstream media, big tech, are part of the team, willingly part of the Democratic Party machine because they agree, ideologically speaking, with what the Democratic Party is all about. The Democratic Party is all about being globalist. If you've listened to Joe Biden just in the last, since the election, and some of the other Democratic Party speakers, Chuck Schumer, remember what he said a few days ago? We're going to take Georgia, talking about the runoff on January 5th, and then we're going to take the world. That sounds very much like Barack Obama did back in 2007, 2008. Ideologically speaking, the reason they don't like Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is a nationalist. America first.
They don't like Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump.
They hate Donald Trump.
And they hate us.
Yes.
They hate people who believe like Donald Trump.
Exactly. Which is why also you talk about coverage. There were videos that I saw the other day, and to Fox's credit, they were the ones playing this, of the attacks against Trump supporters in D.C. last weekend. There was one, there was a young woman who was identified as a journalism student at Howard University. There was video of her going up and punching an elderly woman in the back of the head. That was not shown on the Associated Press or any of those other media. Also, there was video of an elderly man laying on the streets of D.C. He had already been attacked by Black Lives Matter and Antifa people. And a woman went up and kicked him in the head as he was lying on the street. The mainstream media did not show that.
Yeah.
Now, this is what's going on in our country. We have right now basically the Democratic Party and their propaganda machine, which is
the mainstream media.
Most of the mainstream media.
They're called the mainstream media. They don't have as much influence as they once did, thank God. Because we have alternative media outlets and sources like you're listening to here.
Mm-hmm.
Abe, comment on this, what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and it's an ideological echo chamber, and it's bolstered because the worldview that the mainstream media adheres to, generally speaking, is reflected in academia. Mm-hmm. You know, and so many of them have the ideological affirmation of saying, hey, the smartest people in our country, of course, because they think the smartest people live in the ivory towers of academia, which, of course, is not true. But that doesn't stop them from living and acting and even believing it. And so they not only do they have this ideological echo chamber, but they think that whoever does not think like them, that they are the scum of the earth. They are unintelligent. They are people that are worthy to be prohibited from being able to engage in commerce in terms of of discourse and things like that in the public square. And so by almost, you know, clamping down, using the tech giants, clamping down on alternative voices, many of them think they are doing the country a service by doing that, because, you know, these other ideas in their purview are violent. And that's how we have this increased polarization in our nation. And you have this affirmation, so to speak, that the smartest people think like we do. And if you don't, then you're dumb and you should be excoriated from society.
Yeah, plus, they're Nazis. So
they're Nazis by being, that's what they think about people like us.
Yes. And Trump supporters. And if you dare come to D.C. to go to a MAGA rally and a pro-Trump rally, then you get what you deserve. And because
you might as well be wearing a white robe or have a swastika on you.
Right. Yeah. And, to Abe's point, a lot of these folks on the far left view the very fact that these people supported Trump as a violent act. Mm. This is why you're starting to hear, and really have been since the 2016 election, but since the November 3rd election, you've started hearing people say, listen, we need to demand that Harvard University does not hire any Trump administration officials to a professorship or to do anything on Harvard campus. And AOC says, Ocasio-Cortez, we're going to make a list. And that's why they show up at people's houses and they protest in front. These, I'm talking about conservatives and Christians, in their minds, we are Nazis, so whatever we get, we deserve. And we're certainly not going to cover it on the news media at night because they're getting what they deserve.
Can I just add to it, to what you've just been saying? It is moving to, a new dangerous stage, too. It's moving from we don't like you to we regard you as a problem, and there is a difference. Once we are categorized as a problem, that justifies them bringing the law against us.
Yeah. What's going on here, and this is very serious, a very serious ongoing situation, and I don't know exactly where it's going to lead. But the secular progressives, and I use that in quotes again, are the left in this country. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They're using language that dehumanizes half of America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The half of America that is basically conservative, patriotic, many of them are Christians like us here. The secular left language now is to dehumanize us. This started probably a decade ago or so, being acceptable language in politics and on the media to talk about basically flyover country, people who live out here, hicks, hillbillies, uneducated people, don't believe in science. You remember when Hillary Clinton said that supporters of Donald Trump, I think she said half the supporters, but anyway, she was basically making an accusation of Donald Trump were a, quote, basket of deplorables.
Irredeemable,
she said.
An irredeemable basket of deplorables.
That's what she said.
So when you use language like that, and I would be opposed to language like that if it were used by conservatives against liberals. That would still be wrong, because you got, even though maybe some of our side get carried away and use language I wouldn't necessarily use, but oftentimes it's just from them, it's just a political jab, a one time one off. The scary thing about what these left wingers do is they're not playing, they're not joking, they're not using it as a political advertisement. They think that we are deplorables. Irredeemable, deplorables. And so what do you do with irredeemable deplorables in your society? You marginalize them. You cancel them. Ultimately, you try to force or indoctrinate them. How do you do that? Well, you use the schools to get to their children. You get them fired from their job. You go to their house and stand outside with a bullhorn or whatever. Bernie Sanders, campaign guy in Iowa, was caught on film saying we need to send Trump supporters to re-education camps.
Yeah.
He wasn't joking.
Right. No.
Okay. So this is why this what's going on in our country right now. This ain't your grandpa's Democrat Party. All right.
No.
So what do you think about what I've just?
Well, to your point, there was a thread posted on social media where you had somewhat 20 or 30 media types saying that all Trump supporters need to be hauled off to Truth and Reconciliation commissions.
Right.
And some of the listeners may remember that that's what they did in Rwanda after the Rwandan genocide, because there were still some Hutus who refused to welcome Tutsis as full citizens of a unified nation of Rwanda. And they are out loud saying these things, scores of them saying the exact same thing. We need a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We need a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, echoing the sentiments of Bernie Sanders' staffer. This is what a lot of them, I won't say all of them because I don't know if all of them believe that, but a lot of them believe this. And it doesn't bode well for our country.
And if you don't believe like that, you're criticized by your own fellow, quote, progressives.
That is true.
Right. As much as I detest Bill Maher's attitude most of the time, at least the other day he was making the case we're making.
Yes.
That you can't cancel 70 million people. Our fellow Americans, and you can't say because they have a different person to vote for, they have a different idea about government, they're therefore not a human being.
Yeah, and Bill Maher actually on a separate occasion criticized, I think it was Twitter, for their continuing attempts.
He did.
Yeah, to basically
spare in yeah. many in some way. In many ways, he's
fair. Can I play you guys a piece of audio that goes to your points? And this comes from that big tech hearing yesterday in Washington that very few of the media reported. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, California, sits on that committee. She said at one point that it's Trump's tweets that are inspiring the violence in the streets. Now, you understand what she's saying. These people in the streets aren't to be blamed for the violence that they perpetrate. It is Trump's fault. And at least she got a response from Utah's Republican Senator Mike Lee. It's cut number two. Have a listen.
The tweets can play a unique role in either reassuring or stirring people up to unacceptable levels. No matter how innocent it is, or it is not innocent, like Trump's claims about the election, that they may incite violence.
You have people shooting industrial-strength fireworks into places where they were eating. Mm-hmm. You have people approaching and beating up and saying vile things and putting people in physical danger, including elderly people, including women and children. All of this was done by Trump haters, by Antifa people, who couldn't handle the fact that there were people peacefully showing their support for President Trump.
I thought Dianne Feinstein's comments were scary. She is saying that Trump disagreeing with the election results are inspiring violence.
Well, let me tell you something. Those on the left never seem to see the contradictory nature of what they're saying. If Trump's tweets cause violence, then Senator Feinstein's criticism of Trump's tweets should also be responsible for violence. But there has been no violence from those who are conservative, because those who are conservative don't act the way these radicals are. So Senator Feinstein's comments were self-contradictory. We are allowed to disagree in this country. Violence is not a legitimate response to someone you just disagree with. But what Dianne Feinstein just did is give permission for more of this to continue.
Yes.
Because as long as the president tweets, she's saying it will stir up people and make them angry, and therefore their violence is understandable.
Let me tell you another aspect of this. You just bingoed.
He did.
My friend.
Thank you.
I mean, just really quickly.
Go ahead,
remember,
Abe.
In Baltimore, the mayor, oh, the violence is just an expression. On the left, violence is a tactic that is utilized.
Right.
And so her basically giving sanction or allowing it to happen is a part of their playbook.
Yes. But Ed beat you.
He beat me.
He bingoed right before you said bingo.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen. Here's another prime example of what's going on. People, the left is now screaming to high heaven, although they don't believe in heaven. They're screaming to high, wherever they, the high places, use an Old Testament term.
Or the low places.
Yeah, the low places. President Trump is not conceding. Therefore, he's putting our republic at risk.
Right.
Listen, one of the leaders of the party on the Democrat side is Hillary Clinton. She said a month before the election that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances.
Right.
You remember hearing this?
Yes.
Absolutely correct. Under any circumstance.
We hadn't even had the election yet. Donald Trump at least waited till after the election, and now he's trying to play it out in court and see when and if he needs to concede. Hillary Clinton told Joe Biden, you don't concede anything under any circumstances. Now, tell me who is, so they got the moral high ground over there,
right,
on their side on this one. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you'd like to send us an email, go to comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Next story, Fred.
All right, Michigan. There were a debate there initially, two Republicans who sit with the Election Commission, were debating the fact that there might be some irregularities in the vote. All right? But all of a sudden, things changed. Michigan canvasser Ned Stapler is what you're going to hear, bullying two Republicans in Michigan who resisted certifying the Wayne County vote. Have a listen to this. Cut number 7.
I just want to let you know that the Trump stink, the stain of racism that you, William Hartman, and Monica Palmer have just covered yourself in is going to follow you throughout history. Just know when you try to sleep tonight that millions of people around the world now on Twitter know the name Monica Palmer and William Hartman as two people completely racist and without an understanding of what integrity means or a shred of human decency. You, the law isn't on your side, history won't be on your side, your conscience will not be on your side, and Lord knows, when you go to meet your maker, your soul is going to be very, very warm.
So that's what those two Republicans got in Michigan for resisting the immediate certification of the Wayne County vote.
It worked.
You're racist. And it worked. You're right.
And he basically said you're going to hell.
That's literally what he did.
Yeah,
that's what he
did. Your soul's going to be very, very warm. And then listen, to me, there's an implied threat in what was said, because he said what you've done in your racism will be known for the rest of your life. Because it was Detroit that they were talking about.
Wayne County.
A lot on the left. They just, let's see, I don't have anything to say to my argument, so I'm going to use a racist charged.
There it mm-hmm. is.
Huh? It's getting watered down to being meaningless from the other side, because every day something, you know, is racist that we're having a disagreement here, but it's nothing based on racial animosity that you would call. It's what happened the other day with, what's the lady's name from CNN, the international lady that compared Trump to Nazis?
Christiane Amanpour.
Yeah. And by the way, that's a good dish at Olive Garden, too. Go there and order that tonight.
All the salad and breadsticks you can eat.
That's right, with the Christiane Amanpour. tell them to go light on the sauce, though. They can get a little carried away.
Yeah,
I'll try.
But the point is, she the other day compared President Trump to in his administration or his presidency to Nazis and to Hitler. Did y'all see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she had to come back and apologize because the people in Israel were outraged. Mm-hmm. And Jews who had survived the Holocaust and their families were outraged that you were making a moral equivalency between a Republican president of the United States, which hasn't sent one person to an incinerator.
Right.
Right, and can't do that to a man and an organization, the Nazis, that killed
millions.
At least 6 million Jews is the number, and others, and created hell for the world for a few years there. She's making the moral equivalency to
right.
the. She had to back off that, but really she should be fired.
Right.
By CNN for even saying such a thing. But you can get away with it again on the left because why? The people that would fire you agree with you.
Right.
They agree with you. And the friends you hang out with in L.A. and New York and London, they all agree with you. Alec Baldwin, the other day, the actor, he said, Trump needs to be buried with a swastika or something like that. I mean, it's just outrageous, the charges these
right.
people make. And you know what? I go back. My voice is really getting high-pitched, isn't it, right here? Do I need to calm down a little bit, take a deep breath? I got popcorn right here. I can eat a few more. Let me bring it down an octave or two. Here's the thing is that, again, this is a dehumanization of conservatives in America, Christians included. And where they want to go with this, ultimately, is to shut us down.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are illegitimate people, not worthy to participate in society. Now, I don't know what that looks like exactly 3 or 4 years from now, 5 years from now. But if you let people who think, like I've just described, get total control of the federal government, It's gonna make life very difficult for us.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult. I don't know where that leads. But this speaking of Nazi Germany, okay, and I'm not making the comparison I would make in other totalitarian regimes that have come to power in human history that have had in order to persecute a group of people, you have to, in the minds of the people who you're trying to get help persecute, you have to say these people aren't human beings.
Yeah, that has been the tact, and in terms of considering what that type of thought process, where will it lead us? I mean, you don't have to go very far. I mean, just our neighbors to the north in Canada. They have pretty robust sets of speech codes, you know,
mm-hmm.
hate speech,
mm-hmm.
Thought policing, to where you have literal criminal penalties, whether they be financial or whatever, for thinking the wrong way and expressing that. You know, you have the prohibition of being able to read or speak or teach from certain portions of the Bible on Canadian airwaves.
That's in a Western country.
That's in a Western
right.
country that is happening right now. And these are the types of things that follow when those types of folks get hegemonic power, unrivaled power in governmental structures, they begin to implement these types of policies to where they basically make your thought processes illegal.
So that's why it's important, for example, that the Republicans don't lose the Senate. Yes. It doesn't matter to me whether it's an R or a D by the name, and it just happens to be that the Republican Party is home to people who believe in freedom and liberty and the Constitution, whereas the Democrats, they're making room and welcoming in people who want to shut down those things. We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. Abe, thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.